Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all hug it, chug it, football all night.
Hearts are pounding in Denver. Nobody but Terrell here. Davis into the end zone, rocking, standing up. Denver is in the lead. Denver's going to win it. Oh, baby, they're going to win this thing.
Probably the final play of the game.
It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending today. This is a Chargers recap. I've got Tommy Girone in the studio with us.
Hey, how's it going? It's Tommy.
Tommy, great to have you in today. What's the Twitter handle?
It's at @RUTHLESS_LUPE, and that's @Ruthless_Lupe.
Pew, 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 pew. And this is your host, Brian Priest. You find me on Twitter at @BPriest24. So today, Tommy and I didn't have a chance to watch as much of the NFL schedule yesterday as we normally do, so we're not going to talk about the entire league. So Tommy, you want to get us started on that lackluster performance from last night?
Yeah, so I was thinking last night into today, this morning, I was thinking, how do I start this off? Do I go positives first? Do I go negatives first?
Do you have positives to even talk about at all?
I mean, a couple.
Okay.
I mean, the one positive that I take away from this is Hunter Henry's back, 8 receptions, 100 yards, 2 scores.
Okay.
I mean, really that, and I think throughout Rivers' career, he's always been that tight end kind of quarterback. He's thrown, if he has a consistent tight end, he throws to them.
Yeah.
Like, same with Gates. Now he has Henry back, and we kind of saw that. You know, made me a little bit nervous how much Henry was playing, but I mean, he seemed to hold up.
Yeah, he was productive yesterday. It had made some good catches, and it did seem like that opened up the offense a little bit, gave Rivers another option that he hasn't had the last few weeks with Henry injured.
Yeah, and also another positive, Mike Williams. You know, I cringe every time I see him get tackled, especially when he jumps in the air and he lands on his back. But, I mean, he's a baller. He goes out, makes the catches when, you know, he snags them. Even if Phil's off a little bit, he still goes out there and snags them. So,
yeah.
I mean, Mike Williams is a plus. Well, another plus, Rivers threw for 320.
Yeah, I guess you could call that a positive.
I mean
26 granted, of 44 for 320 yards, 2 picks. That's,
hey,
he threw a lot of passes.
But they equal out. The 2 touchdowns equal out the interception.
That's like when Kobe scored 60 in the last game of his career and took like 52 shots. Yeah, you scored 60, but I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'm looking at the numbers. The Chargers didn't get a single sack, so that was an issue. So those are positives. Negatives. We keep giving Melvin Gordon the ball. Missed all of camp. He looks like he can't get... He looks like he can't get into a rhythm at all, and it's probably because he missed all the camp. And what's unfortunate is Austin Eckler now can't get into a rhythm.
Yeah, that's been a struggle since Gordon came back. I was looking at it this morning. Melvin Gordon had 11 touches yesterday. Eckler only had 8. He was targeted an additional 2 times in the passing game, but yeah, they're not getting the ball to Austin Eckler like they did early.
Well, even if you look at it, Eckler's numbers, even in the passing game, have pretty much been cut in half since Gordon's been back.
Yeah.
And look, and it's really starting to show in the Chargers game. Like, we can't get anything going on offense, and even if we do, it takes us half the quarter.
Yeah, it's a struggle for that Chargers offense right now, and I don't think Phillip Rivers, you mentioned him with the 320 yards, he's not really helping things because he just... struggling to he's been off target a lot. Like I said, 26 of 44, that's a low completion percentage for the NFL.
Well, even you were even saying this, like, throughout the game, like, once the Chargers started going, you're like, oh, we got a ball game here. And I'm like, no. Calm down.
I was thinking about calling you Glass House Full Jerome when you wanted to start with positives, but yeah, you take me back to your attitude last night during the game. You never felt confident after the early turnovers.
No, and then all of a sudden, we were watching the game, and it looks like there was a low hit on Rivers, and Brian's like, oh, that's a low hit. There's the flag.
And Chris Collinsworth even agreed with me. Yeah, he said the same.
And then I was like, nope, there's a hold. There's no way. And sure enough, holding.
Good old Sam Tevy.
No, it was actually Schofield.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That one was on Schofield.
And then on top of that, the Chargers offensive line. Going into that, offensive line issues. Like our tackles, Sam Tevy and I don't know, but his last name's Scott on the other side. They were even... Are we good?
Yeah.
They were even, you know, they even highlighted them in the, you know, in the commentary on how bad they were doing. Like, Watt was just eating on the defensive side.
Oh, yeah. TJ Watt seemed like he was in the backfield all day.
Yeah. I mean, so much so. He looked gassed. I mean, he was so busy that he looked gassed at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it was unbelievable. And then we were missing our best offensive lineman, I think, and Pouncey. And, I mean, even then.
Definitely.
And so that hurt us. I mean, you saw so many miscommunications, people just getting to the through the line untouched so much. Rivers didn't have time to set his feet and throw.
There was one play in particular where I remember they had a good camera shot of Phillip Rivers coming up to the line, directing traffic, you know, telling... I think it was number 58. You could hear Rivers on camera saying, "You got 58." And then he goes back into the shotgun and the snap, and it was number 93 for the Steelers. I can't remember his name, but a defensive tackle gets off the ball and passed Michael Schofield nearly untouched. I think Schofield got one hand on him after the lineman, the tackle was past him, and that was just kind of indicative of the Chargers' offensive line struggles all season, really, for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, and then TJ Watt gets around Tevy, and instead of Tevy just decides he gets past him and then pushes him, which then gives him like three more, like a big boost towards Rivers. Like, the offensive line woes, and they've always been there for the Chargers, like, since they were in San Diego.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And then...
They're not in San Diego anymore?
Yeah.
Well, what?
Couldn't tell.
Oh, my.
I mean, and...
Do they at least have a stadium? And a home field advantage?
Nope. Again, like I said, I've said this in the preview, the Chargers have the best road record in history as of last year. Another thing... We were watching the game and we noticed how many yellow towels there were there. And then it cuts to the one side of the stadium, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, there's so much yellow." Brian points out that's the sun. That's the sun. And I was like, maybe it's not, cuz then later that night it cuts to we find some on Bleacher Report saying, like, showing that side of the stadium, and there's a lot of yellow.
It really looked like Heinz Field there, some shots of the crowd. It
was tough.
I mean, you can explain that, Tommy.
You could even hear it. Like, anytime you could see TJ Watt hyping up the fans in the stadium, and they're not, he's not even in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's wild. And it's been that way the 3 years the Chargers have played there in that soccer stadium, where they just... You've said it many times. They have no home field at all.
I mean, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, I don't even know what to say anymore. It's just, it's disappointing.
Can I just say something? Home field advantage or not, can we get the Chargers to paint the back line of their end zone effectively one tone of white so there's not a question as to whether a guy comes down inbounds or not, as Hunter Henry's touchdown catch was?
Yeah, that one was, I said it was out of bounds. You said it was a score.
Yeah.
Because you just couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was, a 6 to 10 inch wide line right there where the back line is painted a good solid white, and then there was a portion of it, 6 to 10 inches, that was a faded white, and you almost couldn't tell if his right foot came in bounds or not. It was close enough that you couldn't overturn it.
Yeah.
But... If they had ruled no touchdown, they wouldn't have been able to go back that way either. I think they came out with the right call in the end. But let's, you know, we got white paint. You head down to Home Depot and they can make that work. It's a billion-dollar organization in the NFL.
I don't know, not the way. We're in a soccer stadium. You think we have $1 billion? Exactly.
Who is it that owns the Chargers? The Spanos family?
Yeah.
They have some money. They may not invest it in the team, but they've got money.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, kicking woes. What you know, haven't had a kicker all year.
They finally brought in a place kicker to replace the punter that had been handling the kicking duties all year.
And I think he just misses his first kick every game. It's just ritual.
I feel like your place kicker is worse than the punter was doing. I really do. and I know you do too. You just don't want to say it.
I mean, I was hot. Like I liked long, you know, place kicking our balls. And you were saying he's not good. They need to get a kicker. So what do? They go out and get a kicker. And then all of a sudden, Brian's over here. Oh man, your punter was a better kicker than this guy. And I was like, yeah, I know.
And then the next thing you know, doink, right off the left upright.
Yeah, it's tough this year. Oh yeah. Yeah, $2.4 billion is his net worth, Dean
Spanos. Yeah, that's pretty good. I think he can invest in a couple cans of white paint.
Yeah, he could even bought us our own stadium, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, if you can piggyback on another franchise, you might as well do that and have their logos all over your stadium.
I look at another positive. The Rams are just as bad this year.
Yeah, they really are. Both teams moving into the new stadium next year in Los Angeles. And it'll be interesting to see if they have good teams. Jared Goff has been rough, to say the least.
On top of, I think this is Rivers' last year. So, I mean, you could just see him deteriorating. Like, some of the throws he was making. I mean, granted, he doesn't have time to throw it, but even when he did, like that last interception overthrew him.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like,
His inaccuracy is, you know, those woes. It's always been an issue that crops up every once in a while with Philip Rivers, but this year it seems like it's even more so. He's not accurate a majority of his passes.
If it's not checking down to the running back in the flats or like a short slant, like he's mm-hmm. not accurate.
Well, Dave, and you mentioned checking down to a running back in the flats. They had a screen pass to Melvin Gordon early in the game that Rivers threw behind and over Gordon's head that was returned for a touchdown by the Steelers. So even in the screen game, he's been inaccurate.
I don't put that on Rivers. That's Melvin's fault.
How's that Melvin's fault? The ball was nowhere near Now, Melvin Gordon should have gone for the ball.
Did it hit him in the hands?
No.
You want to watch that replay again?
I don't think it hit him in the hands.
I bet you it hit him in the
hands. Well, I'll take a look at it after we record this.
While it's hitting him in the hands, he's stumbling.
So it was a bad pass.
It was a bad pass, but
but Gordon gave up on the play. That's why the touchdown was scored.
I'm not trying to bash Gordon. You know, I'm not trying to praise Rivers.
Why change now?
Why change? Yeah. But, I mean, these guys can figure it out. Maybe Anthony Lynn. I was kind of big on Anthony Lynn. I thought he was a fan after last season.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I was a fan. But this year, some of the choices that are being made, as long as it took us to get a kicker, our offensive line is still garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking at, like, signed players that we've been bringing up from the practice team. We're bringing up receivers and all other types of position, but really we're not focusing on the offensive line.
No, like, they haven't put resources into the offensive line for years, and it shows.
And I'm wondering is, like, what is it that – what are we teaching these offensive linemen? Because some of these offensive linemen have been our offensive linemen for years. What are they training? What are they doing?
Strong hands. Sam Tevi can really show those strong hands regularly.
Well, I mean, he went to college with Garrett Bowles, so.
Hey, Garrett Bowles, I'll talk about it in the Broncos portion of this, but he hasn't had a holding call since week two. And going into this week, he was ranked a top four tackle in the NFL for the past month.
Well, he got enough in week two for the for the first 5 weeks in the NFL. So
that was rough.
So we're doing the typical Charger thing, and if you're not a Chargers fan or if you watch Charger football, you know we get down early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like mid-third quarter comeback. We get our offensive going, you know, we score once, and then we score again, but it takes us all of, like, almost the fourth quarter just to come within one touchdown because our offense is so slow.
It was funny because you say the typical Chargers thing, and that's actually, we were talking after they had gone down 21-0 in the first half. we said almost exactly that, that it'd be 21. I said it'd be 21-17 with 4 minutes left. Ended up 24-17 with about a minute 20 left, but still, that's what the Chargers do. And then we both predicted that Phillip Rivers interception.
Oh, yeah. That's when, like, oh, we got a chance? Oh, we're on the other side of the field and we have to go 80 yards? Yeah, no, we
99.
Lost. It was like, okay.
How devastating was that punt being downed at the 1 to you?
I was impressed.
Because you did think you had a chance. Just a sliver of hope, and then they downed that punt at the 1.
I don't know what makes you think I had a sliver of hope. I told you, even when they're like, oh, I was still no. I knew it.
You wanted to hope.
It didn't matter. Here's the thing, Brian. It didn't matter where that ball was punted. It could have been down on the 1 or the 25. Rivers possibly screws up in both those situations. More or less on the 1, because for one, whether it's on the 1 or the 25, his offensive line can't block for him.
Yeah.
You know, he's still hurrying. His accuracy shot. Like, even look at it. Like, even if that was on the 25, he still overthrows, you know, Travis Benjamin.
Yeah, he didn't give his receivers a chance on either of those passes on the last drive.
Yeah, so he overthrows him, and it just, like, and if you see, the Pittsburgh Steelers are, like, surrounding him.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.
But yeah, I mean, his accuracy's off. You see the Steelers surround the wide receivers, and then he throws it right to them.
Yeah.
It's hurting me.
One last thing, Tommy. You've talked about it a lot the last few weeks with the Chargers. Talk about their run defense and the struggles that you're seeing.
I mean, we don't have linebackers. Most of our linebackers are hurt.
Was Perriman playing yesterday? I didn't see him.
He started.
Okay.
He started. I mean, he could have still been playing. Thomas Davis is old.
Yeah, Davis is old. He diagnoses the defense well.
Yeah,
but
I mean, he slammed Connor down out of a fit of rage.
That's why running backs should keep their feet on the ground. Don't try and hurdle.
I mean, when you say run defense, I think lack thereof.
Yeah,
I mean, both Connor and their guy named Snell both went off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Snell was promoted from the practice squad coming into this game. And he ended up with 17 carries for 75 yards.
Yeah, and then, I mean, they split the load pretty well against the Chargers. They still they got their yards.
In the words of Sam Gamgee, share the load. No? Okay.
No.
Tommy doesn't get the Lord of the Rings reference. We'll move on.
Yeah, oh, okay. But
there he is.
But and then on top of that, Connor had 2 scores out of the backfield in the passing game, had a score in the running game. If you have Connor on your fantasy team,
one touchdown in the passing game for Connor.
One.
Yeah.
I swear he had 2. Who had 2?
That was the only touchdown. He had 1 receiving touchdown, 78 yards, 7 catches, and then 1 rushing touchdown.
Okay, so maybe I'm
off. The Steelers scored 2 offensive touchdowns.
And then
Devin Bush's fumble return. I don't know if that's ruled a it's got to be ruled a fumble.
It was.
Return, yeah.
It was. So, yeah, like as far as run defense, we don't have any. I mean, that was from week 1. Marlon Mack, 174 yards and a score. Like, we haven't had a rush. Like, even Kenyon Drake from the Dolphins got more yards than he did all year against the Chargers.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm afraid we play the Bears. No, we play the Titans next week, and then we have the Bears after.
In Tennessee, right?
Yeah, in Tennessee. But, I mean, doesn't matter.
And then the Bears, yeah.
And then we have the Bears.
Hey, the Bears might be just what the Chargers defense need. And honestly, watching the Titans yesterday against the Broncos, it might be 2 great matchups for the Chargers because neither team is any good. But the Titans can at least run the ball with Derrick Henry.
The Bears also have Khalil Mack. So, Rivers might die when we play the Bears because we don't have who's gonna go. I wonder how many holding penalties we're gonna get that game.
I just hope Virgil Green's back by then so they can at least have a good blocking tight end. For your sake, I hope that.
Yeah, probably not gonna happen. I mean, it never works out like that. We'll have all the weapons, no line. Rivers is gonna like a step drop and just get it out of there. But his release is so slow.
Well, Tommy, I feel bad watching you so down. You were real high in the Chargers coming into the season. You predicted them to win the division, beat out the Chiefs. Now you're sitting at 2-4, 1-3 at home, in air quotes. And it's been a tough go. And all of this, we haven't even mentioned that the Steelers were starting their third-string quarterback, a guy who tried out for the team in an open tryout over the summer, Devlin Hodges, the Duck. Hey. The Mighty Duck himself, Devlin Hodges. And I was like, Devlin!
And that's another thing. Like, I didn't want to bring that up, but yeah, we could catch a break. Like, even Ryan Broke said this to me before the game. If you guys
read the text. Read the text word for word, because I sent it to Tommy at about probably 6 o'clock.
Side note, if your boys can't beat Devlin Hodges, then beep them. Pack it in, Chargers fans.
What time was that text sent?
Oh, it doesn't say. It probably just before I got there.
Yeah, so right around 6 o'clock, about 20, 30 minutes before the game started, and pack it in, Chargers fans. I don't know what to say.
What can you say? Start scouting offensive linemen, maybe?
I was reminded of the movie Any Given Sunday, when the opening scene of the movie, when two quarterbacks go down in two plays, and then the owner and GM, Christine Pagliacci, starts calling around looking for available offensive linemen, and then she asks about maybe offensive line coach, someone who can teach these guys how to fucking block.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of Chargers football this year.
It's rough.
All right, Tommy. Well, I know you got to get out of here. You've got to go retrieve some furniture from RC Willie. Big spender over here, Tommy Jerome. Thank you for joining us today on the podcast, coming in with Name Change Pending. You got anything else before you go?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Jerome, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show.
I mean, I'm just disappointed. You heard me. I was really high on the Chargers, and then it just went all downhill after I said they were going to be the best team in the AFC West.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all the weapons. They're just hurt. And then we just need to, focus on getting an offensive line. What sucks now is Rivers is done. He's washed. I don't think
he's... And you've been saying that all year.
Yeah, I think he's done. And I think this was his last productive year. And even then, hasn't been that productive.
Yeah.
So then next year it isn't going to be any better. Maybe he proves me wrong. I hope so, but I don't think so. I think we go through a Browns-esque as far as finding a quarterback.
Wow.
I do, because who do we get? I've never heard of Easton Stick. Easton. We have Tyrod Taylor. Are we going to start Tyrod Taylor next year? Then maybe Blaine Gabbert, and maybe Colt McCoy. And maybe
Blake
Brandon
Bortles
Eden.
Is down the road with the Rams. Maybe you sign him.
Blake Bortles. You know what? Give me Devlin Hodges. Apparently he can win a game.
Hey, Hodges was 15 of 20, 132 yards. Touchdown pass.
There are going to be quarterback woes. And I've told you this. Maybe we tank like next year We don't get any better this year. We're going to tank next year, but maybe our weapons stay healthy and then we win a few games so we can't even get Trevor Lawrence, a better quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's when you're in the NFL and you need a player, it sucks to be mediocre.
So are you considering, we're supposed to go to Denver for the Broncos-Chargers game December 1st, third year in a row that we've gone. Are you thinking about dropping out of this one? You sound pretty rough. I don't even know if you want to watch the Chargers on TV, let alone in attendance on the road.
Yeah, at the end of the day, once a fan, always a fan.
I like that.
I'm ride or die.
Ride or die, brother.
Yep, I'm ride or die with the Chargers. I know I flip-flop as far as baseball goes. You know, basketball, go Jazz. But football, I mean, I think the Chargers are the one team that I've stuck with the most besides the Jazz, and that's just because I'm from Salt Lake. But as far as, like, football and, like, really following them and really knowing their depth chart and everyone on their team, I'm a Chargers fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, it the woes, you know, when the lows are low, but then the highs are high. Like, last year, it was an amazing time to be a Charger fan. People thought we were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was fun. This year, kind of unfortunate, but it doesn't change. I'm not going to jump.
Okay, good, good. I like seeing you sticking with your squad. Okay, well, I guess that does it for us today. Thanks for coming into the station, recording with us today, Tommy.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
And thanks for tuning in to Name Change Pending.
Have a good one.